Okay, gentlemen, today's daf is daf vav, mesechet ketuvot. We're holding in the middle of a sukkah. The Mishnah was keveya, the day of chitun, for Pesula, on a Wednesday. And the Gemara began with the question of whether this means that necessarily the Be'ilah has to be at the night following Wednesday, so that there won't be time for Kriya Daita in the morning before he comes to Bezdin, if there's a Tanat, but there to be Mivar, if perhaps you might be Asura Alav, or for those cases which is Asura Alav, or not. And that led us to the question of events that might push off a wedding or change the time of the wedding, which Bechlal led to the issue of what happens on a Friday night in the event that there was no Be'ilah. So as far as being koveya, a wedding for a Friday, we ran into other issues, preparations, the chance of maybe being Mechal Shabbos for finishing the wedding too late, Shem Yishchad Benof, and that would be the same reason as Mitzray Shabbat, and so on. But how about in a case where the Chatan had not been boiled before Friday night? And the question the Gemara raised was, despite the fact that we had earlier a brayta that said no matter what, he shouldn't be boiled Friday night because he's going to cause a chabura, so as Rashi says, either Gemara wasn't aware of that brayta, or we wanted to know whether that brayta was true l'halacha or not. But we asked the question of whether there would be a problem of Be'ilah on Lel Shabbat. Now, the Gemara went through two completely different ways of approaching that question. And they were based on an initial, it's really a flowchart. We have an initial determination of, is there a problem of Chabura? What would define if there's a problem with Chabura? How we view spongy tissue, whether that's considered to be the blood is michba, the way it is normally in the body, and therefore there's a question of Chabura because you need to draw it out of the tissues. Or is the dam mifkat pocket, so that it's already separated, so there's no problem with Chabura. So we take those two directions. Assuming there is a problem of Chabura, we went through all of the issues about whether a Mekal, first of all, whether there's no Psi Gracious, so therefore it's dependent on the Machlokas of whether a Dover Shein HaMitkaven is Asur or not, whether it's Tzarech Bechlal to the Dam or not, and whether Mekalka Bechabura would be Potter Chayev, both issues at the Machlokas, separate Machlokas, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. On the other side, that there's no problem of Chabur, we got to the question of whether there is a problem of making an opening, and we do find that there is an Isser of Binyan by a human being, because the original woman was called Binyan, by Yivan HaShivatat Selah. So therefore, the question of breaking open a Binyan, even though it's a human Binyan, would be a valid, possibly, certainly it's not to say, that this would be a valid issue of Binyan, in which case we got into the other questions of Psik Resha, and whether he was mischarving Bechlal to a Petach, not mischarving a Petach, not Sikresh, I mean a Dovish and mischarving there as well. These were our two approaches. Yesterday we ended up, the last thing we learned was that in both yeshivas of Rav and Shmuel, they had all, each group claimed that their Rosh Yeshiva was the Mekel and that the other was the Aser, so that we have either Rav being Mekel or Shmuel being Mekel. Today the Gemara wants to go through the shittas of Rav to see whether indeed it's conceivable that he could have been the one that was Mekel. Because basically, if you hold that a Dover Sheino Mitkaven is Asur, then whether the problem was Chabura, or whether the problem was making a Petach, which is Binyan, you're always going to end up with a problem. Both charts, both sides of the chart, whether we take the approach that Dam is Mifkat Pokit, or we take the approach that Dam is Michbar in the Betulim, we would have a problem if you hold the Dover Sheino Mitkaven is Asur. If we find that Rav holds the Dover Sheino Mitkaven as a son, we have a problem how they could possibly have claimed that Rav was the matir. Asks the Gemara today on Davov Omen Aleph. It's the very last word on the fourth line. V'Rav Shori, what, there's somebody who claims that according to Rav, there's a way to work out this flowchart that it would be mutter? V'Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chizkiya Mishmei de Rav. Didn't Rav Shimi Bar Chizkiya quote Rav as saying that the famous case of a Mesuchraya de Nezaita, where you use a piece of cloth to stuff up a bunghole. Remember, let's assume it's a bunghole. We're going to see that that's actually a machlokas. But to stuff up a bunghole in a barrel for taking out wine or beer, so the problem over there is that when you press on it, it's a surla haduka b'yumatava. You cannot push it in tight because you're going to cause squeezing. What's the problem if you squeeze it? So this is a whole big issue. It's one of the central sugyas of the question of squeezing out mashkim on Shabbos. Basically, the Rabbeinu Tam, his shita always is there's two problems. There's going to be one problem is a problem of libun. This is the way that begadim are usually washed. which Lechora would not apply here, as he himself points out, because if you don't have water, they can't be washing something in wine, because you're going to be making it more dirty than you're going to make it clean. So washing is one issue, but he also holds that mefarik is an issue. Mefarik means in the same way that removing blood from a body may be issue of a mefarik, which you squeeze something out from where it's included within something else. So too is squeezing out a baguette. If you have now liquids that are basically stuck within the baguette through a capillary action, now you squeeze it out. So you're doing the same thing that you do when you do the same thing to blood. It's exactly the same. So you're basically separating out, and that's a told of dash. This becomes a big, big sugya throughout Shas and issues of what it is that we did, throughout halacha lamaisa, actually, and what things we have to be makbid for problems of squeezing. But whatever the issue is over here, if Rav himself paskins that you can't squeeze tightly on Yom Tov, certainly not on Shabbos, because you're going to end up squeezing out the liquid, so then he obviously holds that the dovash eino mitkaven, because you certainly are not interested in squeezing out the liquid, dovash eino mitkaven would be asur. So that's the first step in the flowchart. As soon as you split into two directions, the first question we have is the dovash eino mitkaven mutar asur. When he holds it's asur, I don't care which direction you go, there's no way that he can go further into splitting between his sevahatar. He's right at the beginning. He's already said that it's asur. By the way, there is here also a major question about whether we're indeed talking about a bunghole, or we're talking about something which is squeezed around the edges of the closure of the top of the barrel, because there's a tremendous nafkamina. If it's a bunghole and you're squeezing, the wine is going to drip down the edge of the barrel, but then it's going to go and be wasted. If it's going to be wasted, it means that we're introducing a new issue over here, because when you talk about a dovash eino mitkaven, this is the famous oruch, which is nogea again all over Shas, one of the most common issues to meet in Hilchos Shabbos. Is a dovash eino mitkaven, even though, as we're going to see, it's a psik resh, it's unavoidable, but you don't want it. Your bedavka would be interested that it shouldn't be this way. Could we extend a psik resh to a case where you're positively against the result of what was so-called a malacha? Or do we say it's a malacha because it's incorporated within your act, and therefore it's as if you wanted it, but here I don't want it. So Tanya is the Oroch, if it's really a bunghole, the way that Rashi's learning, the way that Rabbeinu Tam is learning, how could that be a psik resha and be called usher? I don't want to lose my wine. It couldn't be part of a malacha where I actively don't want it. The whole point of a malacha, Smachshevas, is that I have somewhere or other an intent. Now, again, it's important to point out that a dovash eino mitkaven is not directly dependent on malachat machshavat. Because as Tosis himself points out here in the sugya early on and on the base, there's a big difference between the overall issue of mitasek and the dovash eino mitkaven. Dovash eino mitkaven we find all over the Torah. It's not only a question of how much you want, it's whether this is considered to be your action or not. But certainly over here we have even a greater sensitivity. If you're talking about a thing I don't want. Therefore, says the Oruch, that what the case is over here is that it's a beged that's pushed into the top of a barrel to get a better closure for preventing air from getting in and ruining the wine, in which case anything that's squeezed out goes into the barrel and it's not lost. So even though that's not my intent particularly, but it's acceptable to me, and therefore we could deal with it being a secretion. Fine. Then there's big machlokas, and by the way, about how far the machlokas between the Oracle and the other Rishonim extend. Is it only something which you actively don't want, so it's bedavka de lo nechalei, or is it something de lo yichpatle? So we really have three levels of psikresha. Something that's acceptable and desirable, but it's not what I'm focusing on. Something that I don't care one way or the other. And something that I do care, I don't want it to happen. The question whether other Rishon would argue on the Oroch on something I bedavka don't want to happen is not so partial. There are those who say that everybody would be made in a psik resha, in the sense where you bedavka don't want it. There's also questions as to whether this entire discussion is really relevant to an issur d'rabbanan, or b'chlal would be more makel on an issur d'rabbanan when it comes to psik resha. So b'chlal you don't say psik resha on issur d'rabbanan, which we don't pass him like, but maybe a psik resha lo nechalei on an issur d'rabbanan for sure would be okay. We don't have to worry about it, especially when you take into consideration that, remember, the nature of an issur d'rabbanan is only the Torah being mechayev of you not to rebel against the Rabbanan. If you have no interest in the results, you're not rebelling against the Rabbanan. See, and the question is, where does it start? We first define the action, which then defines the rebellion. Or do we say that's not my, therefore I shouldn't define the action? You can see it's a beautiful, beautiful, wide open field of endeavor to get to the bottom of this issue, the relationship of a situation, particular case. Yes?
Doesn't
Tosafot
also give an option for the article that will be answered because the Kli Vaatza was Kli?
Yes. Yes, he does bring another chat that the Orach himself brings, that it may be talking about Obidat Stima is because you may end up being Mavato, the piece in the barrel, in which case, this is a whole different approach to the Orach, in which case you're making a new Kli because of the fact that you were Mavato something, which we find the Gabi Shabbos about to fill in a floor with something that's going to be left there. You know, if you spill something, maybe it'll be left, you'll end up being Mavato, or it'll be part of Binyan. So that's true, that's another alternative in the Orach. Okay.
Why doesn't the wine drip in from the bunghole?
Sorry?
Why doesn't the wine drip in to the barrel from the bunghole instead of dripping out?
There's certainly parts that drip out to maybe that we
parts
drip in as well.
Parts drip in?
Yeah,
you know, anyway.
Yeah, but there it's not really bakula. It's actually in the water, or in the wine on top. It's not in. It's like if you have a lemon and you squeeze a lemon into oifling, it's not considered bakula to be dash. Okay. In any event, how, says the Gemara, how could Rav hold? If Rav holds that the din is that the Mesukraya and the Zaita is usher, so then he apparently does not hold the Rabbi Shimon, that a Dover Shimon is Kavin is Mutter, and if he doesn't hold the Rabbi Shimon, how can he possibly get around the Isser of being Boel on Shabbos and causing a Chabur oracle? I don't care what the issue is, but whatever it is, he can't do it. Answers the Gemara, no. He may very well hold the Rabbi Shimon. It's just that in the case of Mesukraya and the Zaita, Be'ahu, afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda, there Rabbi Shimon himself would be Moda, because as Abaye Varava point out all over, the Amrit Havayu, Moda Rabbi Shimon, but seek Rashi Valoya Moda. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if somebody's trying to make a puppet for his child by cutting off the head of a chicken and using it as a little, you know, you stick your fingers in there and you have a talking chicken, and then you do this on Shabbos, you say, yeah, but I didn't want the chicken to die, I only needed the head, that somehow the removal of the head seems to lead inevitably to death, and not on all things, by the way. I mean, cockroaches can manage, but in any event, in chickens, it seems to lead inexorably to death, and therefore it's called, this became now the humorous way of referring to this phenomena, seek Rasha, cut off its head, v'lo yamut, but I don't want it to die. So over here, we view that as being one and the same action. Death and cutting off a head, killing and cutting off a head, are basically one and the same. In this case, there's no way to avoid the question of squeezing, whatever the issue is. Says the Gemara, Ve'om Reb Chiya Barashi, Omar Rav, Halachak Rebbe Yehuda, Reb Chana Barami, Omar Shmuel, Halachak Rebbe Shimon, and not only that, Reb Chiya Barami, forget about quoting it from other people, whether it was Reb Chiya Barashi, whether it was Reb Chana Barami, there's also a report directly that there was a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Rav Amar Halachak Rebbe Yehuda, Shmuel Omar Halachak Rebbe Shimon. So, how exactly did we want to make this work out? If Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the question of the Be'ila, how does it work out that he could be the Matir now? Well, remember, there's two approaches here. Let's go through both of them. It may well be true that Li'olam, Rav, Rabbi Yehuda is Li'olam. Okay? Now, let's take the two first steps of the flow start. Lahak Lishdem Rav, Dom Adam Mifkat Pocket. Okay, our first determination was, is this a question of a Chabura? If the dam is mifkat pocket, it's not a question of chabura, because the chabura requires the issur of removing the dam from where it's connected to the tissue. It's not connected to the tissue the way dam usually is, and therefore the only problem over here is making a petach. Okay, so now if that's the question, making a petach, you're going to say, how could he hold that smutter if he holds the davar shein miskaven is usur? Why not? He could hold like Rav Yehuda even in terms of the din of mekalkel, and he would say he's mekalkel eitz al ha-petach, and that eitz al ha-petach everybody's made it, that mekalkel is a p'tur. It's only by chabura that there's a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Mekalkel eitz al ha-petach is definitely p'tur. So when it comes now to the point at which you're doing a mitzvah, and so on, so we're not makbid, mechalal. Lahak lishna, by the way, that's not so posh. In other words, okay, but still it should be yasser. Right? In other words, like you're saying p'tur, but it should still be yasser. What is exactly the heter here? So there's a number of different approaches in the Rishonim. That it could be that the combination of lack of kavana and kilkel means it's even mutter. Or it could be that since over here we're dealing with questions of mitzvah in conjunction with that, that it's mutter. This, of course, would have hashlachot in other situations. But in any event, certainly over here, it would be mutter, which is what the Talmidim were claiming. So therefore, even though I hold a review that a Dov Hashem is covered as Osir, it's still Mekalka. And taking the other beginning of the first step in the chart, and if you're going to tell me the problem is Asiyas Chabura, and then we go straight to the end, which is we hold the Rabbi Yehuda, and it would be a Dov Hashem Miskavin Osir. Wait, it's also Mekalko B'Chabura. He may hold the Rabbi Yehuda straight through. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mekalko B'Chabura is even there, Mutter. Not only generally Mekalko, in which Rabbi Shimon says, now wait a minute, Mekalko by definition is Mekalko. So if the Torah asers those things, it's Asri even be Mekalko. That was a Maklokas. He holds a Rabbi Yehuda from beginning to end. Allah Rabbi Yehuda Dov Hashem Miskavin is Osir. Allah Rabbi Yehuda Mekalko B'Chabura is Mutter. And therefore, in this case, we're matur. So the Talmidim were claiming, however it works out, not because of Darvashen Amit Kavein, but because of Kilkel. And he held it was mutter.
So the first case is not binyan?
What's that? The first case it's not binyan that's also because of Mekalkel. The second case it's not Chabur that's also because of Mekalkel. What's Rav Chista? Rav Chista asks from the following. It says, Beferish, in the Mishnah, the Tinoket Shaloi Giaz Manalirot. You have a young child who is still prepubescent, so she still hasn't begun her menses. Even he said, so Beit Shammai Omrim, Notim Larba Lelot, Beit Hillel Omrim, Ach Tchaya Maka. So now the question is, if she's really not generally used to being Raya Dam because of menses, so what is this bleeding? We can assume that the bleeding is continued bleeding from irritated betulim. It's basically the dam of a maka, and that's not us. There's nothing wrong with blood that we know where it's coming from. We assume, therefore, said Beit Shammai, that for 4 nights, any bleeding that comes at the time of intercourse is viewed as dam betulim, and therefore it's not a problem of nidot. Beit Hillel says, why 4 nights? Ach t'chaya maka. In other words, if at one point the bleeding stops, now suddenly bleeding begins again. So now you've got a problem, because now we have no reason to assume that the bleeding was due to the original mak of the betulim. So she already stopped bleeding at a time of intercourse with no blood. So now this blood may well be the blood of her nidot. So then you have a problem. But why should we arbitrarily give you a certain number of nights? So therefore, he would be allowed to ignore bleeding and continue his relationships with her. How about if he gives one of the Rotvini said, but how about if she's already reached puberty? So then, Beit Shammai, Omrim, Notnim La Laila Rishon. There, Beit Shammai says, look, he can assume for the first night that she is a Betula who's bleeding, not from Nidot, but from a Maka. And then he can continue to sleep with her as many times as he wants, despite the fact that he's causing bleeding, doesn't matter. And Beit Hillel says, no, in this case is the four-night deal. Ad Motzei Shabbat. Look, I mean, obviously, there's a point at which she gets closer and closer to seeing the dam of her nidot. For 4 nights, we will allow him to continue to have intercourse with her despite bleeding and assume that the bleeding that he's seeing is the result of a wound and not the result of nidot. So that 4 nights is Ad Motzei Shabbat. Ooh. Now, Arba Leilot. Now, I mean, last time I counted, that gets us up to including Leil Shabbat, right? I mean, certainly, you're not going to have 4 nights without it, because you're going to have, if she's getting married Berevi, so you have the night of Chamishi, Shishi, Shabbat, and Motzei Shabbat. I mean, so that's all 4 nights. So my love, I mean, I'm assuming when it says we give him 4 nights, it's saying, De'ilo ba'al matzibayim. Afilu b'shabbat, which we're saying, he's got 4 nights. 4 nights means that, look, I mean, he may basically be causing bleeding by poking around. He's disturbing the wound. But means, even though he hadn't actually completed a be'ila to break through the tomb completely, he can do so on Friday night, which is one of the 4 nights. So what you're saying is, I mean, d'ilo ba'al doesn't mean d'ilo ba'al at all. As long as d'ilo ba'al, as Rashi says, d'ilo ba'al be'ila gemura, there's just some hesitation, and then she's suffering pain, or whatever it is. So he may have been causing bleeding all of these nights, but he hasn't really forced his way through to break the betulim. Actually, he could, if he wants to, which means that there's no issur. So my lab, the ilobal, matzibal, afilu b'shabbat. You see, from here, there's no problem of causing a chabura. Or my rova, well, not necessarily. What's your problem, Scott? Speak up.
No, it just sounds like that's exactly that. I mean, for sure, we just said it, so it might be one or the other, or it might be collected or not. But if it's something,
nothing to do with collected. We're past that stage. Yeah. Whatever the issue is, whether it's collected, not collected.
But if it's other bleeding, sounds like it's coming from a place for sure.
That's not the issue either. We don't care what it's coming from right now. That's not the topic. The topic is 4 days including Leil Shabbat or not. Whatever the issue is, we couldn't care less. We're just trying to see whether the machlok, how could it be a machlok, is Rav and Shmuel in a psak of Beit Hillel? That's our only question. Don't get into the details. It's just confusing. Fact is, Beit Hillel is saying there's no problem. Don't think I didn't see. So the fact is that Beit Hillel is mater even Leil Shabbat. On my Rava, well, maybe when it says until Mitzray Shabbat, it means except for Friday night. Levar mi Shabbat. I'm thereby, excuse me? You're the one that's always very medayik in the language. When I try to do this, you come at me. It says, Ad Mitzray Shabbat Arba'a Leilot. I mean, last I count, 4 nights has got to include Friday night, because otherwise you don't have 4 nights. I mean, isn't that the whole point of saying Arba'a Leilot? To try to make sure that we don't get away with saying what you're trying to say? So, I mean, that can't be what it means.
Why wouldn't it say Kolel instead of Ad?
Ad could be an Ad B'Ad B'Chlal. That's the one that uses the word Ad. No, never does. Always uses Ad all through the Gemara. So therefore, says Abaye, that can't be what it means. Says Rabbi, okay, you're right. Elo Amar Rabbi, fine. You know what? You're right. It includes Friday night, but it means that he was already Baal. Wait, so then what's the Kiddush? In other words, if you're telling me that he already had been Baal, and you're not coming to tell me the din of being mutter to be Baal, so what are you addressing? What you're addressing is how long we can assume that there's dam betulin, right? That's all that you're saying. In which case, there's no point in mentioning Shabbat at all. What does that have to do with Shabbat? Say for 4 days after Bila, we can assume that we have dam betulin, not dam midot. The only point of mentioning Shabbat is because there you have the additional complication of whether it's mutter bechalal on Shabbat. But otherwise, why are we mentioning it? Since it's irrelevant to us. So then, Michael Mashmon, in terms of the Shabbat, no, still a chiddush, because Kamashmon, the Shorin, the Milvo, the Shabbat, the Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel, Pirza, the Chukah, Mutar, the Kanesba, the Shabbat, Afal Pi, Shemeshir, Tzrorot. Look, if you have an opening that's already made, you're going to be sliding through a door where as you go through, you'll knock out a couple of extra stones. That's not a problem. Once already, you have the pirtza, so Shmuel, you can go in on Shabbos. So you might have thought that when it comes over here, that, okay, you're saying I was already Baal, and therefore what? I was Meshir the Betulin. There's always a little bit, perhaps, of additional wound that I could still affect. So that's like going through a pirtza de Fuka. So maybe it would be Aser. Tamash Malan, then Afapik, and it's Mutter. But Enoch Inami, perhaps if I hadn't been Baal at all, maybe it would have been Aser. So that's the machlokas that we had between Rav and Shmuel. But Einachinami, I mean, about this case, yeah, I certainly can't bring a riot 100% from when it comes to Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, one way or the other. I mean, I can learn it like this. What's Rav Yosef? As is Rav Yosef from another famous Mishnah, Chatan Patur Mikriyat Shema Laila Harishon Ad Motzei Shabbat Im Lo Asa Maaseh. Now, what are you going to do with this one? If a Chatan had not slept with the Kala, then until Motzei Shabbat, from the time of the marriage to a Betula on a Wednesday, he doesn't say Kriyat Shema. Why doesn't he say Kriyat Shema? Because he's now involved in the mitzvah of Be'ilah. I thought on Friday night, he has to be saying Kriyat Shema. Because on Friday night, he's not going to be able to be veiled. So now, you see from here that that's not true. So from this Mishnah, Agav, it seems to be very clear. So my love, the Tori de Boy Lamiva. What's his tirda? What's his involving him, his thinking, so that he's unable to concentrate on Kriyat Shema? The fact that he is worried about his upcoming attempt to be intimate with this woman. But if there's not going to be such an attempt, so what's the problem? Well, actually his problem is the fact that there's not going to be the attempt. The Tori de Lovile. Maybe that's the problem, is that he's basically upset about the fact that he hasn't really been able to consummate the marriage, and that he's got now another night that he's not going to be able to consummate the marriage. And so because of that, he's not feeling capable of concentration on his Kriyat Shema. Maybe that's the point. Which is a tremendous chiddush, because basically the tirda, therefore, that he would be having is not really a tirda in a mitzvah. It's a tirda about the fact that he wasn't able to do a mitzvah. It's not the same at all, which is why initially we'd never occurred to us that somebody would come up with this kind of answer. And therefore, Rava says, well, I understand. But because a person has his mind on other things, so therefore he doesn't say Kriyat Shema. So in other words, you're telling me a guy who just lost a fortune in the stock market is potter from Kriyat Shema. That's what you're saying? So if that's the case, I'm Rabbi Shum, tirda potter. Since when is somebody who's worried about something potter? If your ship went down. So now that's the same as your stock going down. So you're ruined. You're telling me that there's a din of being potter in Kriyat Shema. Ochinami the potter, and don't try to tell me, yes, that's true. Because after all, Kriyat Shema requires Kavanah, and a guy who's half asleep, like some people in here, and a person, no, don't be
looking at me.
Not this time.
He's not even fully asleep.
And a guy who's unable to concentrate, indeed, is potter from Kriyat Shema. It's not true. If you tell him, you'll tell me that he indeed is potter. It's not true. Because Omer Baba Barzav Omer Rab, the fact is that an Avel is chayavich on mitzvot amurot batar. Certainly a person who's lost a loved one is not exactly in the best of moods to be thinking about the Kriyat Shema. He's torud in his pain. So he's suffering. So over here, I mean, that's a greater suffering than worrying about the fact that he wasn't boil bilas mitzvah, no? And nonetheless, it says that the only thing that the Avel is potter in is tefillin. What's not tefillin? The reason that he doesn't put on tefillin is shenemar ben pe'er. Since the Torah calls tefillin pe'er chavush alecha, so because of that, it's inappropriate for an avel to be handling his tefillin. He is, after all, in a matzav in which he's not exactly pe'er. He's sitting on the ground in the middle of the dirt. What's the pe'er? I mean, this is the way Rashi always uses shenema ben pe'er. But as Tosis points out, it's a rather romantic way of using pe'er, because the truth is this is a halachic question. When the Torah said to Yecheskel pe'er chavush alecha. So the pashtus is that the mokra of the din of iser of wearing the tefillin is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yechesko, nobody's going to look at you as being an avel just because you lost your wife. Wear your tefillin. So the pashtus is that a regular avel doesn't wear his tefillin. So that's the shenema ben pe'er. But Rashi's trying to bring this, Tosfos points out, but it's because it's pe'er, it's because it's called pe'er. That's the point. That's why it would be normally. And of course, Rashi's trying to give the reason of why is pe'er something that's inappropriate. But in any event, that means that as far as other chiyuvim, such as Kriyat Shema, the other would be fired, despite the fact that he's suffering. Elam HaRava, therefore says Rava, that has nothing to do with it. The truth is that this is actually a machlokes tanoim. And you have a very good raya from here, from the story of the chassid on Leil Shabbat, about not being able to say Kriyat Shema. There obviously, therefore, is a tana that is being matir. I can't deny it. So it must be a machlokas tanoim, and that's the only thing to say. Whether it's mutter to be boiled on Shabbos, or it's aser. If you say that it's aser, so then enoch inami, it would only be according to one time, tana. But there clearly is a tana that's saying that it's mutter. I'm not just making this up. The tana chada, im lo asam ha'aseh b'rishon patur av b'sheni, b'sheni patur av b'shlishi, v'tanya idach rishon v'sheni patur shlishi chayav. So the other man, the Omer, says, no, on the third night, if the third night comes out to be Shabbos, you have the night of following Wednesday, night of Thursday, and then you have the night of Friday, meaning the night leading into Friday, but the third night is the night leading into Shabbos, that we call Friday night. So then that's not included in the Ptur of the Chosin. So you see clearly from the Brice that according to one man, the Omer, since indeed the Chosin cannot sleep with his wife on Friday night, so therefore, there's no p'tur from Kriyat Shema. It's certainly not a biased thing. I mean, that's crazy. But just because he's upset, therefore, should not Kriyat Shema. Tosfos points out that maybe what Abaye holds is that since the tirda is coming from his worrying about how to be Mekayim the mitzvah, doesn't necessarily have to be right this minute. So that's also considered to be maybe the tzar of not being able to do a mitzvah with potters. Okay, but this Rava is saying that's off the wall. And Abaye? So Abaye, what does he do with this? I mean, apparently, the Tanoim over here are exactly arguing on what he didn't want to say they're arguing in. No, this is about, that's what they're arguing in. They're arguing about Tirda. That's the point. Abaya hatam nami betirda plige. When we find Tanoim over here about being part of a kriyashma, that's not because there's a Tana that holds you're allowed to be boiled on Friday night. It's because there's a machlokus about whether the level of tirda that is associated with mitzvah is sufficient to be called a tirda, as opposed to the avel, who despite the fact that he is mit abel, is not tarud in tsar. Because the chiyav to be mit abel is what? Is mechayev you to be worried about how to be mit abel? He's naturally mit abel. So whatever involvement that he has emotionally is not involvement in the mitzvah to be mit abel. It's the emotional involvement in the loss of his ship, so to speak. So it's the loss of his wife, whatever it is, but it's a loss. But that's not the chiyav in the Torah. It's to be upset about your loss. That's your problem. The chiyav in the Torah is to express the loss in terms of b'chiya and abelud. Fine, but he's not Torah in that. So memela, there's three levels, says Abaye. So if you're Torah directly in the mitzvah, so over there you need to be boil, you're worried about how to do this, is she going to turn out to be a betulah or not, am I going to be capable of performing or not, whatever your issues are. So there you're Torah in be'etzim the mitzvah. If you're Torah like an avo would be, if one is Torah like an avo would be, in the pain of loss, that's completely personal. It's nothing to do with the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah doesn't involve the tzah. The mitzvah involves expression. So then, and nobody holds it. That's called tirda d'pater from kriyat shema. If you're torahed about the fact that you cannot do a mitzvah, then that's a machlokas. That's called a tirda of a mitzvah or not. That's what I'm saying. But I don't think you can bring a raya from here, says Abaye to Rava, that there's necessarily a machlokas about whether you can be boil. Could be everybody agrees. Can't be boil. That's how I see it. V'hani tanoi ki hani tanoi. There is an equivalent now, machlokas tanoim, in the following bright of the Tanya. Hakoneis et habitula, lo yivol betchila v'shabbat, v'chachamim matirin. You see from over here that there are those who are matir, and man chachamim, homer rabbi, there's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon also is dover shenem mitkavein. So over here he has no kavona v'asiyat petach, no kavona for shchita, the taking out dam, Netilat Nishama, or whatever the issue would be. And therefore, he would be mutter. Says Abaye, what do you mean? Why would he be mutter? Even if he's not mitkavein, the fact is that if he's going to be boil of betulah, he's going to cause bleeding. Then it becomes a psikresha. So I thought, and we said before, I'm like Abaye, Amode Rabbi Shimon, look, we're all agreed on this, right? It's Abaye Varov and Amit Avayu. So I thought we've agreed that Rabbi Shimon is mode on a psikresha v'lo yamut. So over here, how in the world is the guy going to have intercourse with a betula and not cause bleeding? I said, Robert, what do you think we're talking about over here? About these creeps from Bavel, you know what they're doing? This is like a bunch of animals over here. So they, look how lolo babli im shein b'kiim b'ataya. Well, all they know about is simple punch and poke, and that's all. They don't have any idea of what they're doing. But we're talking about real people. I mean, real people don't do that kind of stuff. Real people are b'kiyin b'hataya. They know how to carefully penetrate without touching any of the betulim. And since that's possible, this is a machlokas, really. Tosis learned, so what? I mean, so we're going to be matir. You're telling the lo kalolo b'kiyin. Let's first finish the sugya. So that means people that are not like, well, you're saying, well, it's a secret ritual, it's because you don't know anything about life, you know. Fact is that somebody's got a little bit of finesse, understands that it's possible to be boil a betula and not cause bleeding. So therefore, there are those that are bekeen. Aliyesh bekeen bataya. So, I don't understand. So then, imkein torei lama. So then why are we saying he's torah? Why is he torah? He's got nothing to be torah about. I mean, basically you're telling me that he's not even going to attempt to be boil because it's Friday night. You said, okay. So if that's the case, he could always be boil bataya. He's boil b'ataya, then anyway he's not going to be measured b'tzulim. So what exactly is the worry over here if he's such a baki? Well, he's talking about l'she'eno baki. No, inafinami, it's a person who is not a baki. I understand. So you're telling me that now the halacha depends. In other words, yomru baki mutar, she'eno baki asur. This is what we're saying, is that it's basically dependent. We're supposed to give a guy a test or something, that the halacha is dependent on whether he's a baki b'ataya or not a baki b'ataya. What kind of crazy halacha is this? That we're passing the halacha straight out.
So we're passing a halacha, and you're telling me, but it actually depends. You have to have smicha for this halacha. Says the Gemara, rov b'kiyinei. Most people are b'kiyin. No.
That's what I
really
Does anybody here know how to do this?
No. Well, mind your own business. So what exactly, I mean, what's the tariff of Rove Bikin? I mean, Tosfos says, are we being matter on the basis of Rove? What does that mean? We're going to tell an inner Bucky he's matter because Rove Bikin, we don't know if this guy's a Bucky or not. So can we be matter based on that? Tosfos says that since each person we have a suffix if he's a bucky or not, so Mamela we're matir. Other Rishonim argue on that. And Rashba says the meaning over here is Rov Bikin doesn't mean that everybody's got practice and already knows exactly what they're doing. Rov Bikin means that as a matter of nature, a person who is careful can be careful if he feels any pressure not to penetrate an area where he feels he's going to cause damage and bleeding. That's all that it means. In which case, Rove Bikini, whether you intend to or not, whether you really know what you're doing or not, the natural course of events is to avoid causing damage, just because naturally you're trying to prevent pain and so on. And so maybe the end result is that even somebody who's not a bucky is going to end up a maisa, which will la maisa be hataya. Now, even though we find that the act of hataya is viewed as an extremely, extremely careful and knowledgeable thing, because we find that the Gemara, remember the Gemara in Chagiga, was wondering whether we can assume that a woman who is pregnant necessarily was penetrated. Or maybe she just got pregnant from being exposed to sperm in a bathtub or something. And even though there was, so Gemara over there says, well, Shmuel said that she seems to be a betula, he could have created a conception without penetration. So the Gemara says, we're not chayish for Shmuel. Shmuel's a very big bucky. Shmuel's a doctor. Okay, if you're a very big bucky. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Ken? I'm in the middle of class. Right, call you back. So, did I put this on the... No, I didn't pause it. So, therefore, we should say that only a bucky like Shmuel. And it says lo shrike, such a thing is very unreasonable. So now all of a sudden we're saying that it is reasonable. We're saying, roll the key out of that app. So Tosha says that in Afinami, we're talking about two completely different things. When Shmuel, it says Rav Gudrei, Shmuel was a tremendous, tremendous expert, being one of the world's greatest physicians. That's talking about that he could have a complete penetration, so that he could be certain of the point of actually causing conception. He knows exactly where he's inserting now his own semen. So over there, that's rare. But for someone not to cause breaking of betulin, despite the fact that they're not also going to cause complete penetration, that already, that's normal. That's something that happens most of the time if a person is being sensitive and he's not just a bavli. So a lot of cases where the Gemara points out that bavli, and we're really rough and gruff, and I like the question of the, you know, grabbing out tufts of hair from the sawyer, and then, you know, it's just, there was something very peasant-like about that. And a peasant isn't careful, that's the point. So he's saying, look, I need bavli. So if that's the case, Rov Bikini. Normally, Rov Abarav Chana Labaya, if you're now saying that most are Bikini, so then that means that as a person who wants to have his cake and eat it too, so to speak, so he doesn't want to cause bleeding, he doesn't want to penetrate, he wants to leave a girl a virgin, despite the fact that he slept with her, can do so. That's what you're saying. So I said, what's this big deal about marriage? You know, everybody makes this big deal, and we have this thing, the minhag used to be, you have this white sheet to be able to make sure that he can't claim that she didn't have dam betulim, and there really were dam betulim, and we have these shushbinin that are taking the best man and the best woman, they're taking the side of each party to make sure that there's no hanky-panky. What do you mean no hanky-panky? If you're saying a guy could have his cake and eat it anyway, so you're going to come along and claim that, well, you know, she wasn't a psula, that's because he made sure that she wasn't a psula. So what are you going to do? You're going to now check and see, well, there's no bleeding, he's right, not a psula, he can get his money back. The whole thing now is a waste of time. Well, I mean, don't get killed. Then. So if that's the case, what are we doing? There's no way that we can save her from an attack on her integrity, says the Gemara, because no, I mean, what it means over here is Hatam Shema Yerehevi Yabeh. Maybe the point over there is, look, it could be that he won't be Mata. There will be Dam. He'll claim there wasn't Dam. She can't say she's still a Ptula, because she isn't. So for there, what about if he does do Hatayani, claims there was no Dam? Then she can always say, I'm still a Ptula. Check me. You'll see I'm still a Ptula. So therefore, it works. It normally needs to work for those cases. Tosa says, but then you're missing half of the answer. Because it should say, for those cases, and in other cases, she'll say, Adayin Ptulanov. Right? Therefore, but this is how Rashi learns. Therefore, Tosfos says the question over here was a completely different question. The question was over here is on Shabbos. Since people end up using this mapa all the time, even on Shabbos, Shushbinin, even on Shabbos, if you're telling me that the heter on Shabbos is where you bedavka have to try to avoid bleeding, that's the question. So what's the point of this whole minute? To which the Gemara replies, maybe he'll make a mistake. Maybe he will be Baal Bila Gemurah. Maybe there will be bleeding. Then he'll tell you that he hadn't. And so on. So Bimela, because of that, we have it also in Shabbos. But we wouldn't have asked the question on Stam during the week. Then it was evident to us that the Gemara wasn't asking. But if you're not allowed to cause bleeding, you're claiming. And that the heter over here is because of Atayah and Rov Bikinanein, and therefore there's no problem. Why do we have this whole minhag? So say, it's just the Gemara we have in case this happens. Masi Rivami. Amefis Mursa Bishabat. Here, Ravami says, what about the case of puncturing a cyst on Shabbos? So now, there's two ways of taking care of a cyst. The correct way is to insert a drain to make sure that you have an opening whereby any pus is going to continue to come out. It's not going to refill. But some people will bust open a boil just in order to relieve the pain in a moment, and, you know, if it refills, it refills. So therefore, it depends what you did. If you're trying to make an actual drainage hole, so then you're chayev, because it's considered to be petah. So this is called metake. If it's just lotzi mimena lecha, if it's just to allow temporarily the relief from the pus that's gathered now in this boil, so then you're potter, and in the end, the Gemara and Shabbat says, you're potter and even mutter over here because of the pain that it's gurum on Shabbos. So this is a very rare case. We use the word potter, meaning mutter actually lechat chila.
We're talking about something under the skin?
Yes. So if that's the case, then how do you explain to me we're doing the same thing over here? Here you're saying potter, in this case it's so what about here by Shabbos? If you're telling me that it's usher to be boyal, apparently it's okay as long as the intent, or in this case the intent was for medical purposes. But again, it seems to be the same thing. So I think, well, no. You see, you're taking for granted that there's only two levels of the question. Question one is da michbar chaver or mifkat pakit? And if it's mifkat pakit, so then you're saying, okay, so it should be mutter completely. But that's not really true, because there are two levels of pakit as well. There's pus, in which the pus is bichlal held within a cellular membrane that's not connected at all to the tissue around it, and it's meant basically to be dachui from the body and not to be absorbed, and we're trying to get rid of it. So over there, in Achin Armi, there's no problem at all. It's not only pukid, it's pukid v'akir. It is gathered together in one location, and it's being kept separate from the rest of the body, which is why you've got a problem with a cyst, because it forms basically a membrane around it. There is no problem with halal of similarity to chabura, because this is not connected to the body. It's bedavka being separated. But nasha'enke, where you're dealing with dam betulim, even if you're going to tell me that it's pakid, it's only pakid v'lo akir. Okay, so it could be lagabe that, by dam betulim, since it's not really separated out with any kind of membrane, so memele, it's similar enough to normal dam that we would say perhaps that it's usher on Shabbos, and it's not the same as the din of Mephis Mursa. Okay, so it comes out that basically we find that there is a machlokes tanoim, whether it's mutter or it's usher. We still have our flow chart. It's exactly what the what the issues are that we need to take into consideration. But bottom line is that it doesn't involve necessarily a psik reisha, and therefore would be dependent on the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about a davar shenu miskaveh, as well as the other elements that may enter here, which is mekakel v'chabura, or what your intent is.